May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. And I think you'll find it a help to have that reading before you on page 1071, John chapter 6, verse 60 and following. The theme of our gospel reading this morning is how people respond to the teaching of Jesus. When people hear the message of Christ, what response do they make? Gospel reading shows us that there is a divided response. There are those who find the teaching of Christ hard and who leave. And there are those who find the teaching of Christ life-giving and who stay with him. One of my favourite adverts on the TV in the last year or so was an advert for Marmite. It followed a team who were supposedly rescuing neglected jars of Marmite from people's houses. So they looked like those teams who go into people's houses to help neglected pets. And you followed the team as they went into this house and you heard them searching around in the cupboards. And then one of the team said, "Yes, there it is. There's a little jar here at the back of the cupboard, and it hasn't been out for years." You saw the family of that house looking ashamed, and this small jar of Marmite was taken away from them because they neglected it so much. And then the end of the advert was happier in a way. You saw this jar of Marmite being settled in a loving home where it would be appreciated. And they were sitting around the dinner table, all spreading the Marmite on the toast, and the camera zoomed in on face after face of this family who'd received the Marmite. And you could see that they were just loving it. And then the camera focused on the face of one of the kids who put the soldier with the Marmite on in his mouth. And this look of absolute disgust comes over the child's mouth. And he spits it out. And I think the slogan at the end is something like, "Marmite, either love it or hate it, just don't neglect it." It takes a certain confidence in marketing to show somebody hating your product, but to have that as the finale of your advert. Well, I'm not sure that's really true of Marmite, but they say you either love it or hate it. But we see this morning that the teaching of Jesus Christ, when people really understand it, produces a divided response. There are some who love his teaching and hold on to it, but there are others who, when they understand what he's actually saying, find it hard and unacceptable, and leave him and his teaching behind. So let's think first of all about those who find Christ's teaching hard and who leave. We'll spend most of our time on this section. As you know, John chapter 6 begins with the most wonderful miracle. Jesus feeds the 5,000 with just 5 loaves and 2 fish. And the crowd are so delighted that they want to make him king immediately. That's how popular he is after the miracle. But then Christ starts to teach them about the significance of the miracle. And as you know, he famously says, "I am the bread of life." He says, "I've come down from heaven to give my flesh for the life of the world, so that if anyone comes to me and believes in me, they will have life in relationship with God now and forever." That's the teaching of Jesus in John chapter 6. While in our passage, it starts at verse 60. "On hearing it, many of his disciples said, 'This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?'" They were profoundly challenged by this teaching of Christ. It's hard, not mainly because it's hard to understand. I think they could understand what he was saying. Not because it's untrue. There are plenty of indications that the message of Christ is true. No, it's a hard teaching because it's hard to accept. It really challenges our independence and our pride to realise that the problem of human sin and rebellion against God is so serious that we can't sort it out ourselves, that Christ had to come down from heaven and give his life that we could be restored to relationship with God. If you find the teaching of Christ hard to hear, well, it is hard. We all find it hard. It challenges us in many ways. It challenges our independence. It's very striking to note in this reading that Jesus doesn't compromise his message. Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you? What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before?" He's saying, you haven't heard the half of it. What if you actually saw me die on the cross, rise again, and ascend to heaven? So he won't compromise on his message because he can't compromise on the truth. And so verse 66, from this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. They'd been following him for the miracles. It'd been so exciting to see them, I suppose. But now as they started to understand the teaching of Christ, well, they found it hard, and they left and no longer followed him. And it's very sobering because these are people who had seen Jesus and met him. They'd seen his miracles. They'd heard Christ himself teaching, and yet they found that they couldn't believe and they left. And it raises the question for us, what does it take for a person to believe in Christ? If those who saw him and heard him couldn't, what does it take for someone to have faith in Jesus? Well, Christ himself answers that in verse 63, which I think in many ways is the key verse of this whole reading. Christ says, "The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I've spoken to you are spirit, and they are life." What he says there is surprising and challenging, I think. He's saying that for a person to come to him and believe in him, the Holy Spirit has to work in their hearts. He says the flesh counts for nothing. The flesh here refers to what we are in our human bodies. Here we are with our flesh. And Jesus says when it comes to believing in him, our flesh counts for nothing. Saying our own understanding, our own brain power, our own selves can't get us to the point of faith in Christ. That's not a flattering thing for him to say. It's because as a human race, we've closed our eyes to God and so become blind to him. As a human race, we've hardened our hearts to God and so we've become set against him. And so on our own, we're not able to see the truth about Christ and respond to him in faith. The flesh counts for nothing. We can't do it on our own. But as he says, the Spirit gives life. It's the work of the Holy Spirit in someone's life to, so to speak, open their eyes to see the truth about Christ. And so to speak, soften their hearts so that they want to respond to him in faith. For a person to come to Christ in faith, it actually takes a miracle. Not seeing a miracle, but the miraculous work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts to bring us to faith. You might be surprised to hear that. Jesus says it again in verse 65. He says, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him." We're not able to come to Christ unless God works in us through the Holy Spirit to bring us to life so we can respond to him. A few implications of this. It means if you're a believer here this morning, that's because the Holy Spirit has worked in your life to bring you to Christ. You may think your story of coming to faith is quite ordinary. Perhaps you grew up in a Christian home. Perhaps, like me, you're not sure when you put your faith in Christ, but you know you're trusting him now. Perhaps you attended a Christianity Explored course. At some time during that or after, you asked Christ into your life. Well, however it happened, if you're a believer today, because the Holy Spirit has worked in your life. As Jesus says, the Spirit gives life. It means as well, if we're still waiting, if we're not there yet when it comes to trusting in Jesus, well, we must call out to God and ask him to work in us so that we can understand the truth about Jesus and respond to him. One of the marks of a Christian believer is that we have a desire to see others come to know Christ too. We found that through faith in Christ we have life and relationship with God. Naturally, we want those we care for to receive this too. Well, again, we learn here that for our loved ones to come to faith, it actually depends on God, on the Holy Spirit working in their lives. Now, to know that is liberating. If we think our loved ones coming to faith depends on us, well, that can be a crushing burden. In fact, it depends on God. Yes, we have a part to play, living a life and speaking words that point to the love of Christ. But in the end, people coming to faith, it depends on the Spirit giving life. And so that frees us to get on and pray for those we care for, that God would work in their lives and draw them to Christ. So Jesus is saying, yes, it's true that many heard his teaching and they didn't believe it. They left and walked away. And in order for people to believe it, well, it takes a miracle of God. It takes the Spirit to work in us, to give us life. He continues in verse 63. So he says, the Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. Then he says, the words I've spoken to you are Spirit and they are life. What Christ is saying there is that the words he speaks come from the Holy Spirit. And they're the way the Holy Spirit works in people's lives to bring them life with God. So just as a painter works through their brush, a surgeon works through their scalpel, so the Holy Spirit works through the words of Christ to bring spiritual life. Again, there are great implications of that. We want the Holy Spirit to be working in our lives, don't we? To be growing his famous fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness in our lives. Well, we see here that the tool the Holy Spirit uses to work in us is the words of Christ and the words of God in general. So we should think, how can we immerse ourselves in the words of Christ? There are many ways of doing that. Perhaps taking time during the week to read over again the lessons that we have in church on Sunday. Maybe copying out a favourite Bible passage, taking time to think and pray about what we're writing out. Many of us here at St Mary's find daily Bible reading notes a great help in giving us a little portion of the Bible to read each day and some pointers. I have here some notes called Time with God. I put out a stack of these at the back at 8 o'clock and they were all taken. But if you would like to try one of these that many of us have found helpful, come and speak to me. I'll show you this one and I'd be happy to order more for you. But you see, Jesus says, the words I've spoken to you are Spirit and they are life. The way the Holy Spirit works is through the words of Christ. So let's immerse ourselves in his word. That's also why, for those we care for those who we would love to see come to faith, we pray for them, but also we do what we can to help them think about the words of Christ. Not ramming it down their throats, of course, but in appealing and thoughtful ways, sharing the words of Christ with them. Perhaps mentioning something from the Bible that we find especially precious to us and mentioning it to others. Perhaps lending people a book. That's why in all of our services at St Mary's, on Sundays, Christmas and Easter, weddings and funerals, school visits, and in all our school assemblies, we're seeking to open and explain the word of Christ. Because for someone to come to faith, it takes the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And Jesus says that the tool the Holy Spirit uses is his words. The words I've spoken to you are Spirit, and they are life. So how do people respond when they hear and understand the teaching of Christ? Well, I said we spend most of our time on this. Sadly, there are many who find his teaching hard and who walk away. And Jesus is saying, actually, for someone to come to faith, it takes that work of the Holy Spirit in our lives as we hear and receive his words, which are Spirit and life. But wonderfully, and more briefly, there's a second response to the teaching of Christ that we see in this reading. There are those who find his teaching life-giving and who stay. Verse 67. You do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. What a wonderful declaration of faith. As so many were leaving Christ, finding his teaching unacceptable, Peter speaks for the 12 and says, "Lord, who else could we go to? We've found that there's no one else like you. Only you have the words of eternal life, words that bring life with God now and forever." Saying, "Only you are the Holy One of God, the great Redeemer, come to rescue us from sin and bring us back to God." And this is the experience of Christian people still today. Yes, we find the teaching of Christ hard and challenging at times. Yes, we go against the flow because so many are ignoring his teaching or understanding it and rejecting it as so many did in his day. But like Peter, we hold on to Christ's words because we've come to know that his words are the words of eternal life. Well, let me mention finally what Jesus says in verses 70 and 71. Then Jesus replied, "Have I not chosen you, the 12? Yet one of you is a devil." He meant Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, who, though one of the 12, was later to betray him. So even at this point, Jesus warns the 12 disciples that one of them will betray him. Sometimes I think we feel a little bit sorry for Judas. If Christ knew that he would betray him, did Judas have any choice? Well, it's quite possible both for Christ to know what we will do and also for us to be responsible for it. It was Judas who chose to betray Jesus, even though Christ knew that he would. Jesus says a little later in John's Gospel, "If you hold to my teaching, you really are my disciples." So the presence of Judas amongst the 12 is a warning. It's not the company we keep that makes us true disciples. No, it's continuing to hear and to hold to Christ's words. "If you hold to my teaching, you really are my disciples." So when people hear the teaching of Christ and really come to understand it, how do they react? Well, in a way, like Marmite, it's a divided response. There are some who hear his teaching and they understand it, but they say this is too hard to accept, and they walk away from it. Not because it's not true, but because it's such a challenge to us. But there are others, like Peter, who hear Christ's teaching and who say, "Lord, to who else could we go? You have the words of eternal life." Let us pray today for the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that as we hear Christ's teaching, it will be bringing life to us. And for the work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of those we care for, that as they hear the message of Christ somehow, it would bring life to them. And let us resolve to be like Peter and the others, even though it means going against the flow, even though his teaching is hard in a way, to hold on to his teaching and to show ourselves to be his true disciples. Amen.
We stand as we affirm our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord.